Welcome to our village board meeting after the scheduled one. It's just a little after 7 o'clock. I'd ask the clerk to please take the roll call.
Trustee Bachner.
Here.
Trustee Gillis.
Here.
Trustee Vasquez.
Trustee Brennan.
Trustee Johnson. Trustee O'Connell.
Here.
President Adusi.
Here. Okay, so we want to let him in? Can I have a motion to allow Trustee
Vasquez? I have a motion that we elect our friend Brett to participate in our conversation this evening.
I guess I'll second.
Due to work responsibilities.
Due to work responsibilities.
Okay. And Erica, second. Okay, very good. I'll let you take the vote on that.
Trustee Gillis.
Yes.
Trustee Brennan.
Yes.
Trustee O'Connell.
Yes.
Trustee Bach.
Yes.
Okay. You're in, Brett.
Okay. Thank you.
All right. Okay. So now I'd ask him to just stand and we'll say the pledge of allegiance.
Republic for which it stands, one nation under God.
With liberty and justice for all.
Okay, so we have a few citizens' comments. So, Dan and Phyllis and Carrie and Diane, do you want to speak now or would you like to wait until we get to that point in the agenda?
I would like to speak now if possible.
Yeah, sure. It's up to you. So I will go ahead, Carrie, I'll let you speak.
Okay, thank you. Hi, I'm Carrie McLean. I'm at 1010 Keystone Avenue. Not only am I a resident of River Forest, I'm also on the Sustainability Commission. And I do want to thank the board for initiating the discussion on single-use plastics. Our first draft of the ordinance was inspired by an initiative through Planet Green and is modeled after what the City of Chicago adopted last summer, which was written with the business community in mind. At our May 10th Sustainability Commission's meeting, we had some very passionate residents speak to this issue. We rightfully strengthened the ordinance because it is the right thing to do. Including drive-throughs and plastic straws is absolutely the direction we should be heading. We need to think about what's good for future generations of humans that will live on this planet. And the restaurant industry needs to do more. This is the wave of the future, and McDonald's agrees with this. This quote is from McDonald's corporate website. To secure a thriving food system for the future, the food industry has an opportunity and responsibility to help mitigate the impacts of climate change and find more sustainable ways to feed people. I'm proud of McDonald's commitment to accelerate action and achieve widespread adoption of more sustainable practices, even as we navigate the impact of COVID-19. Drawing on the support of our franchises, suppliers, and producers, we can continue to build a more sustainable and resilient industry. That's from the Executive Vice President and Chief Supply Chain Officer. So McDonald's is already riding this wave. McDonald's in Canada has already switched to wooden cutlery. I want to read you this announcement dated October 21st, 2021. McDonald's Canada today announced that it will introduce wooden cutlery, wooden stir sticks, and paper straws to its more than 1,400 restaurants across this country by December of 2021. The removal of these single-use plastics in its restaurants supports McDonald's global commitment to source 100% of McDonald's primary guest packaging from renewable, recycled, or certified sources. By being part of the Canadian fabric and serving close to 3 million guests every day across more than 1,400 restaurants, McDonald's Canada is playing an important role in the ongoing reduction of single-use plastics in the country says Rob Dick, the supply chain officer of McDonald's Canada. By removing these single-use plastics in our restaurants, we show an ongoing commitment to minimize our environmental footprint and help protect the planet for future generations. In Canada, the last plastic McDonald's straws is expected to be used in December 2021. I believe that our ordinance completely dovetails into McDonald's own commitments. Actually, it seems that McDonald's wants to do even more. Again, this is from their corporate website about packaging and waste. We're testing new packaging and recycling solutions around the globe to help us reduce packaging, switch to a more sustainable materials, and help customers to reuse and recycle. Today, we are approximately 78% of the way towards our ambition to source all packaging from renewable, recycled, and certified sources. We are also partnering to help drive at change at scale. This includes our role as a convening member of Next Gen Consortium, which aims to advance recoverable solutions for the fiber to go cup system, and our partnership with Loop to test a reusable cup system for hot drinks.
That's all right, Carrie.
Sorry, that was a train that just went by. McDonald's has a history of sustainability. McDonald's Canada in 2019 introduced a 20% smaller napkin produced with 100% recycled fibers, which eliminated more than 900 tons of paper from the Canadian system. There are about 14,000 McDonald's in the US, more than 10 times as many than in Canada. And if we only do a small fraction, it has a much greater global impact. In the early 2000s, I'm almost done. In the early 2000s, McDonald's had their employees ask if you wanted to supersize your order or your order. It is not unrealistic for them now to ask if you want utensils or straws. Our ordinance should be passed as written. We as a community need to show that we're committed to doing what we can to try to mitigate human impact on our earth. This is such a small step, and it is time to do the right thing. Thank you.
Thank you, Carrie. Thanks for all those words. You look like you're in the middle of the street. Hopefully you're not. Don't worry about it.
Sorry, I had to step away from a dinner, but this is important, and I hope that you will think it is also.
Of course it is. I mean, we're going to vote on it. Thanks. And I just want to remind all the other speakers, we have a 5-minute limit, not because we don't want to hear everything you want to hear, but we don't want to be here till midnight either. So you can just be respectful of others. I certainly appreciate it. So I'm going to open it up to Phyllis and Dan and Diane. Do you want to speak now or would you like to wait?
Wait.
I'm going to talk to your wife. Diana.
You're muted. You're muted.
All right.
What he always says to me. Okay.
All right.
I'm reading into the record the email from the owner of River Forest McDonald's, Nick Karavides. If I lose my voice, I'm sorry. It's a bad allergy day. Hi, Daniel, Kathy, and the River Forest Board. I would like to begin by apologizing for not being able to attend and provide feedback and perspective on a very important issue regarding plasticware and ongoing sustainability. Unfortunately, I'm stuck in the UK on a McDonald's benchmarking trip, and I do not return until late Friday night. That said, as a proud business owner within River Forest, I would like to take this opportunity to provide my perspective on the matter at hand. I would like to begin with commending the Village of River Forest on leading the way when it comes to addressing sustainability and plasticware. As a leader on sustainability within the McDonald's system, I'm happy to see issues like this being addressed. Currently, I have many McDonald's restaurants within Chicago city limits, and I deal with their foodware ordinance very successfully. I am fully committed to laws that move increasingly towards sustainability and the refined ordinance that Daniel Lauber submitted to the Sustainability Commission does just that. Daniel and I have had many conversations on this issue. Unfortunately, dropping plasticware entirely is not a workable option for me at this time. I'm required to purchase everything in my restaurant through my McDonald's approved distribution center. And at this time, my distribution center does not provide me the option for non-plastic foodware. That said, I'm not rejecting nor am I fighting the idea of a foodware ordinance. Rather, I would like some small concessions to allow my business and McDonald's time to adequately transition to a more sustainable foodware option. As I discussed with Daniel, as outlined in his June 21st revisions, I would like the option to offer, but not just blindly provide, my current plastic foodware to my customers. I would also like the ability to provide my current straws to customers ordering in the drive-thru. Statistically, over 65% of drive-thru customers consume their food in their car. It's very dangerous to try and consume a beverage while driving without a straw. I am confident that the McDonald's sustainability team will continue to work on options to migrate away from plastic. However, we're not there just yet. These small concessions will make a huge difference on providing me the ability to satisfy my customers while still adhering to a large portion of the River Forest sustainability ordinance. I greatly want to be part of the sustainability movement within River Forest, and I'm proud that River Forest is looking to lead the way. Thank you for listening to my perspective and for reviewing Daniel's June 21st revision to the ordinance. While this is a very important issue for us all, it does have a dramatic firsthand impact on my business. And he leaves his phone number. Thank you.
Thank you, Dan. Okay, Phyllis, did you want to? Because I think Dan wants to wait. If that would lie.
Yeah. It doesn't work.
No, sorry. Yeah.
All right. Phyllis is on 411 Ashland, 6 feet in River Forest. So I want to tell you, you know, I come as a member of Built Plastic Free and as a member of the Infinity Green Network. And I usually come complaining. I'm not complaining about this. Pass this ordinance. And pass it as strongly as you can keep it strong. I appreciate this statement from McDonald's. They really want to do this. Maybe they need a little time. Give them a little time. That's fine. I can accept giving them, you know, not 30 days, not 60 days. Give them 6 months. Whatever it is, give them a deadline, though, because I have learned, I love the statement, if there weren't any deadlines, things would never get done. So give them the, to do it. And because Canada and California has figured out a way to not use plastic and to substitute other straws for the different kinds of drinks, our McDonald's can do it too. And I just thought he had a statement, but I just want to tell you, thank you for doing this. Thank you for doing this. It was after a really hard week last week. This would be a great day to do it for. Okay, thank you. Thank you.
Can I have a point of clarification?
Yes.
This ordinance is not drafted against McDonald's, it's against all restaurant users who distribute these utensils.
Right. And it's correct. Right. That's great.
Right. And so I just want to make sure that the public understands it.
Yeah.
This takes into account Bertolli's, 7-Eleven, all the other
Few the reason why we didn't vote on it last time was because McDonald's said that they maybe had an exception, so
I understand.
We wanted to wait.
Because it's a drive-through.
Yeah. Yes, I do.
Thanks. And we'll get to that.
Yeah, let's make it clear, though. So
yeah, when we get to that point, we're going to make it clear. It actually doesn't even deal with plastics. It just deals with giving out foodware. So I think this is a little bit much to do about nothing, but it's really just, and it sounds like Nick is all in. If it's his choice to, you know, give it to his clients or customers if they're okay. So we'll talk more about that when we get there. But yes, you're correct, obviously. It will the fact that all the businesses, but it's not punitive at all. Okay, so now we go on to Donald. I mean, do you guys want to wait till we get to the traffic, or do you want to speak now?
Well, we can wait.
You wait? Yes.
Yeah, no worries.
Okay, Sheila, maybe that's thank you.
Hello, I plan to project. My name is Sheila Radford Hill. Hi, everyone.
Hi.
I live at 414 Clinton Place. I've been a resident in River Forest since 2015. I'm the former Chief Diversity Officer at Dominican University. Currently, I'm semi-retired, and I work on passion projects, including teaching as an adjunct in the Navy. Recently, I was asked by Trustee Brennan to participate in a small committee to plan a Juneteenth flag raising for the village. As you know, Trustee Brennan is the village's representative to the Dominican Truth, Racial Healing, and Transformation Committee. I serve on that committee as well through my ongoing relationship with Dominican. This is where I became acquainted with Trustee Brennan. And that partnership to fight racial and social injustice was really supported by President Aducci, who played a leading role in establishing and passing that resolution. Although not specifically mentioned in President Aducci's recent special message, it has been talked about, meaning the Juneteenth flag raising was talked about in her previous messages, as she pointed out to me. I'm here to report that the River Forest flag raising event held at the River Forest Library was an amazing success. Village residents, the library, police and fire departments, elected officials, and invited guests participated in an hour of education, celebration, and honor of this major holiday. I'm here to thank Trustee Brennan for inviting me to participate, and to thank Trustees Bachner and Johnson for their gracious participation in the project. I'm also here to advocate for ongoing support for the Juneteenth flag raising. This event could build momentum toward the village's participation in the West Villages Parade. Forest Park, Oak Park, and other villages have their own flag raisings. And the people I talk to at these events really enjoy learning about Juneteenth through community participation. At the River Forest flag raising, residents were excited to learn about the West Villages Parade. They took all the flyers. And they were thrilled to know that Juneteenth is a federal and state holiday, a time for all Americans to celebrate and educate each other about a part of our history many of us did not learn in school. So the Juneteenth flag raising was a win, 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 win for the village. First, the flag raising supported the previously mentioned community partnership with Dominican. Second, it supported the aims of the Diversity, Equity, and Inclusion Committee, ably led by Trustees Bachner and Johnson. Third, the flag raising provided River Forest residents with an opportunity to build community partnerships and to participate in other West Village celebrations, including those held in the villages of Forest Park, Oak Park, and Maywood. And finally, the final win, the flag raising provided our village with a strong blueprint for annual Juneteenth activities that begin with the River Forest flag raising and culminate in the West Villages Parade. I'm respectfully asking for all members of the village board to participate in next year's Juneteenth events. Mm-hmm. I'm also asking each of you to vote on a resolution to include the Juneteenth flag raising in the village budget for diversity and inclusion work. Supporting Juneteenth flag raising as a village says that River Forest's commitment to its previously passed anti-racist resolution is unwavering. Funding events like these educate our neighbors and celebrate the histories and cultures of those living in our community. That's a winner. Thank you all, to all on Zoom and to all here. You're all invited to the next Juneteenth celebration. Thank you.
Thank you, Jill. Thank you. And we'll be big then. Okay, thank you. So that concludes
You skipped me.
Oh, I'm sorry, you're not on here.
I'm on the list.
Oh, could you bring that up? I'm sorry. Do you mind? My apologies.
That's okay.
Yeah. Can't bounce back. See?
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. Very good. Thank you. Wow. Okay. Sorry.
That's okay. Thanks. Hello, my name is Deb Wolkstein, and I live at 1130 Franklin. And it was my great honor to attend the Juneteenth flag raising ceremony at the library on Monday, June 13th. It was truly a wonderful celebratory and educational event. And I want to thank all those involved for planning such a wonderful event to honor Juneteenth, and that really made River Forest proud. I think I felt so good about being a resident of a village that supports an event like that. And some people might ask why things like this are so important. And River Forest is a really wonderful place to live. And, you know, River Forest thinks of itself as a friendly and welcoming village, and it really is. And for some people, though, more than others. And I ask all of you who are part of really the dominant cultural demographics or are part of like multi-generational families that have lived here forever to ask your friends who are members of marginalized communities what it felt like when they moved here. It might be very different than what your own experience was. And these events, such as Juneteenth flag raising and other celebrations and the Pride flag raising event, these are really important things for this village to continue having to communicate that it is really a welcoming village to all. And it is really my profound hope that this event will continue, will be fully funded, and will grow. And I encourage everyone to make it a priority to attend these, because it was truly wonderful. Thank you.
Yeah. Okay. Thank you. Okay. And the rest on this list is, I think, Mark, I assume that you're going to talk. So we'll just wait. We'll get to that point. Maggie. Okay. So that kind of concludes for now. Okay. That's, we will move on to our elected official comments and announcements. So why don't you start with you, Erica, if you don't mind.
Well, sure. Thank you. So I'd like to start with a land acknowledgement. As we begin, we are mindful that we hold these meetings on land that was once and still inhabited by Indigenous people, including the Ojibwa, the Chippewa, the Menominee, Potawatomi nations, and more. We will remember our nation's history and honor the Native people as stewards of this land that was colonized, and that River Forest continues to be a place many people from diverse backgrounds live and gather. And I just want to wish everyone a happy 4th of July and Independence Day weekend. And just remember to be safe as you're out there celebrating, and especially on the roads. I do want to echo the comments around the Juneteenth celebrations that happened in our community and the surrounding suburbs. I was so thrilled to see all of them and see some of the coordination that was going on. There was such an effort to put those events together. And I'm sure people who worked on it will probably talk about that more, but it was so wonderful. And my apologies to those who worked on the flag raising event for us in River Forest. I wish I could have attended, but I had a medical concern that prohibited me from attending. And so looking forward to bigger and better in the following years. I was also really thrilled to be able to participate in the D90 sponsored, District 90 sponsored Inclusion and Pride Walk that went along with the flag raising of the Progressive Pride flag at Village Hall. It was a wonderful turnout. We had hundreds of folks out here in front of Village Hall. And I think it was a tribute to, again, the diversity and welcoming village that we are, and a moment to let children and everybody know in River Forest that they are seen and that they are loved and that they are accepted and that they are welcome. So we had a really, really fun time. After the flag raising, we walked around the Lincoln School and then went to the Lincoln School Park to hang out with music and fun and stickers. And so it was a wonderful time. And then the last thing I just wanted to touch on, the DEI advisory group. I was actually hoping that Ken would be here again. I had to miss that because of a medical issue, but I think everything is on track. I did mention that, Brian could certainly speak to it. I think at our last meeting, I mentioned that we would have a draft RFP by now. And there was just some timing of when we got survey information to our committee members that it worked out funky a little bit. So we should have that in the next few days put together.
Yeah, our hope was to have that done by the end of June and have that ready to go. As Erica mentioned, we're nearing the end of it and expect to have that out shortly, right? We have a few reviews that we need to do internally and then as well, make sure that we hit on the proper and key points of what was expected in the minute as it relates to the overall charge of the DEI commission and advisory group. And so our expectation is that that will be out still this summer, so.
Thanks, Lisa.
Sure, hello. I also participated in a Juneteenth celebration. We're lucky that there are a lot of things in this community, whether it be flag raising, parades. I was part of the Dominican University celebration on Friday, June 17th. I hoped to go to the barbecue, but unfortunately work got in the way. But they did have a Zoom component. It was an educational presentation about the history of Juneteenth. So I found that informative and inspiring. And because I'm an adjunct professor, I was able to sneak in that and into that because it was actually sold out. Sold out because I don't know how you sell out Zoom, but they did. So it was a great event. And I do thank the Dominican University for, again, providing a celebration of that kind. Second, as I do every month, I attended the River Forest Sustainability Committee meeting. And
yes, absolutely.
Okay. I just want to wish Sarah Pfeiffer all the best as she moves into her new role with Wilmette. As a part of like assistant to these.
Right, yep. Assistant to the village manager.
Right, assistant to the village manager. I bring it up as part of sustainability because she's made an amazing difference to the Sustainability Commission. As we move from being a very, very much a working commission to actually being a commission that relies heavily, almost too heavily on our village staff. We have a very strong community outreach and education program. SoulSmart Silver is within reach if we can get our zoning board involved, our EV readiness initiative. We're starting with an RP that I think she's going to try to pull together before she leaves. And last but not least, we continue to do a great job with measuring our greenhouse gas emissions. And a shout out to our resident expert and sustainability commissioner, Sharon Roberts, who not only leverages her expertise as a volunteer in the community. She has been a very strong measurement program in place for our own greenhouse gas emissions, and she's being tapped by Planet Green to coach other communities in the measuring of their greenhouse gas emissions. So really, really great stuff. And I do personally want to thank Sarah because I've worked with her as a commissioner on the Sustainability Commission when she wasn't actually in charge, and she was helpful then. And then when she became a commissioner, she just kind of took kind of that commission to a whole new level. Thank you very much. I do want to then wish everybody a happy 4th and just reiterate what was already been put out on social media, that we don't do fireworks. They scare people, they scare animals, so please keep the fireworks somewhere else. Yeah. Thank you.
Okay. Thanks.
Rez? Good evening, everyone, and thank you. I'm going to try to make this quick. I have a few things. First of all, I do apologize. I was unable to make any of the Juneteenth events because most of them, if not all, were during the week. And it's very difficult for me, especially this time around since I work, although I will say that there were some Juneteenth events at the community college where I'm at, so I was happy at least to participate indirectly, but for celebration of the event. I also then want to remind everyone, if you haven't voted yet, please vote tomorrow on June the 28th. And then a couple of events that I attended, and I'll try to speed through them since our last meeting was on May 23rd. On May the 27th, I attended the H Guide public hearing on the budget. They were discussing their focus on what their senior services and grants were, and you were allowed to provide input on it. Also then on May 30th, of which all of us, not only the board and the village staff, but also our residents who participated in the Memorial Day Parade, it was well attended by all. And a great success, and thank you to Kiwanis, the River Forest Park District, and everybody who put it together, as well as all of those individuals who attended. On June the 2nd, I attended the MMC Age Friendly Communities Collaborative meeting with Kathy Ducey, who chairs it. The topic was to reviewing the regional Age Friendly Community Survey, who provided input on possible goals and focus of issues for our senior services, not only River Forest and our neighboring villages, but throughout the region. And then on June the 8th, I attended and chaired the River Forest Age Friendly Committee meeting, for which Dan Lauber is also a member. And we continued and pretty much completed our review and analysis of the survey data that we received. We will now begin preparing a draft outline for our report to this board, and it will be containing our findings and recommendations. But this is the first draft, so the committee will be reviewing that at its next coming meeting. On June the 10th, I attended the Leadership Lab celebration that was by Oak Park River Forest Community Foundation. Katie Brennan was one of our graduates this year, but we've had other trustees such as Eric and myself who participated in this, and thanking the village board for being a good sponsor for trustees in attending that. So thank you. And it was a great, great event. Then on June the 23rd, I attended the MMC Housing and Community Development Committee. The topic was the single family housing rehabilitation, different methods, different ideas on how to pursue that. So that was a good meeting. Also then on June the 23rd, I attended the OPRF Chamber of Commerce luncheon, which Katie Brennan was also in attendance. This was sort of an overlap with the C4 event that was going on Triton. So we sort of, I guess, had to split up a little bit, but Kathy took care of the C4, and I'm sure she'll talk about that. And so it was good to see a lot of our village businesses and support them. And the topic for discussion was technology and innovation. Last but not least, also, I do want to wish Sarah Pfeiffer luck. She's been a great asset to the village on a personal level. She also helped me and our age-friendly committee in providing assistance to us. She will be greatly missed, not only for my committee when she was reassigned, but also for the village. So Sarah, I can't necessarily see you, but I wish you the best and a virtual handshake to you. And I'm sure you'll be doing great things wherever you go, and don't forget us. And last but not least, happy July 4th to everyone, and please be safe and enjoy the holiday. Thank you.
Thank you, Russ.
So I'll start by thanking Sarah and Elijah for just your, you know, excellent professionalism and responsiveness and all of your talents. We really benefited from all of them. Thanks so much. We'll miss you. I could not say better than Sheila and Deb, the comments about the Juneteenth flag raising. And specifically thank Sheila for her participation, because she gave a beautiful piece as part of the flag raising. And I too believe it was very well received. It is in line with River Forest's stated mission, urging residents to continue to learn about racism and our shared history and promoting social and racial equity. And I urge that we continue with the Juneteenth flag raising and make it an annual event sponsored and supported by the village. One of the neatest things about the flag raising was the collaboration between all the different groups that were there. We were honored to have Mayor Rory Hoskins there from Forest Park. Two trustees from Maywood were there, Miguel Jones and Isaiah Brandon. We had a slew of elected officials from River Forest there, from the town representing the township, the library. All three principals of the D90 schools were there. We had representatives from Dominican, the OPRF Community Foundation, OPRF Chamber of Commerce president was there. Of course, Trustee Ken Johnson was our MC and did a fantastic job. We had assistance from the fire department, who helped the Boy Scouts raise the flag. We had Trinity High School. They are giving two different recitations as part of the program. And I want to give special thanks to the planning committee, because it was a lot of hard work. And that was Sheila and Teresa Peavy and Stacy Austin, both of whom are on the DEI advisory group, with special assistance from Marjorie Adam Clark. So that's the flag. Yes, I forgot about the Leadership Lab graduation. That was an awesome event, and I spoke at that. Attended the Chamber Business Economic Luncheon, which had excellent content on how our businesses are data-driven now and can benefit from all the information and the data that we're capturing. I also attended the Forest Park and Oak Park Juneteenth flag raisings that were before ours, because I wanted to get more information and have, you know, be prepared, even better prepared for ours. And I attended the DU Juneteenth event as well, the barbecue part. And then finally, the West Village Juneteenth parade, which we planned in 67 days. It was a parade and an expo. And I had the privilege of working on the planning committee with Commander Jim Greenwood and with Elijah Barbora, who took really strong roles in helping to plan it. Without your help, we wouldn't have been able to do it. So we anticipate making that an annual event as well. That's all I have. Thank you.
Thank you. Congratulations to the committee that put the Juneteenth celebration together. I unfortunately had to work, so I was not able to attend, but I did participate in a program put on by my company. Also, wanted to participate in the Memorial Day Parade. I thought it was a great event. I think from the chat, everybody loved it. I think there's some opportunities to do a few things better. And so I look forward to the Kiwanis Club working with the park districts, working on that. But it's a great event and very well attended by the residents. So congratulations to everybody involved. I too want to congratulate Sarah on her next adventure. And in fact, I was talking to former trustee Karji and he shared the news and he asked me to extend his best wishes to you. And then I just, on a, not to be a Debbie Downer, but I have noticed, because for those of you who know, I'm part of a scooter gang and we ride the town. I have noticed that there is a little bit of construction work going on in the village on Sundays, which is against our ordinance. And so I would ask that you be cognizant of your neighbors, that they can get suppressed on Sunday and they don't have to hear jackhammers and whatever else is going on. If you do see something going on, call the police non-emergency number, 708-366-7125, and we will ask someone to go over and kindly ask them to stop working. I know people are trying to get projects in. I know it's expensive to build stuff today, but again, I think we have ordinances in places for those things. And I think that's all I've got. So thank you.
Great. All right. Thanks, Bob. I would love you to be real quick. Sarah, we're going to miss you dearly, but we all have to grow and then move on to bigger and better things. So I wish you the best and you're going to do fabulous. So but thank you for all your work and hard work and all the giggles you have over the years, working together. Congratulations and thank you to the staff on the Memorial Day Parade. It was phenomenal. You all did so well. Our residents and community just loved that parade. And being on a hiatus for 2 years, you came back with a vengeance. So thank you. Thank you, Brian. Thank you, Matt. Thank you, Sarah, Elijah, Tom, Jeff. Yeah, he's not here. Right? Oh, there you are. I didn't see you. Greenwood and Jim and all the staff. Rosie, driving the truck. Thank you. The really exciting thing I have to announce is I attended and led a wonderful event called C4, which is Cross Community Climate Collaborative. So Sheila, I want to thank you for those kind words about the leading the way, because you and I started the TRTH resolution and you told me, you said, Kathy, walk, just don't talk. Well, this is walking the walk, right, girl? So I am so happy to announce that this is unprecedented. There's 13 mayors that signed this agreement. And I will talk a little bit about it. I'll read the proclamation in a few minutes, but it is basically bringing all the really 13 mayors in the Westbrook suburbs together to work collaboratively on climate change. And it's specifically for the BPOC and disinvested communities so that we all share resources, whatever resources we have, our ideas, and come together and bring everybody with us. So I'm really excited about it, and I will talk about it. I guess it's the next piece is the resolution. So we're gonna put this on the website. You all can read it. It's really quite exciting. And I'm glad that we are actually taking initiatives. And I also wanna say thank you to all those that worked really hard for the Juneteenth celebration of the flag raising and of course the West Village's parade. And that was an inaugural event. So, we've got a lot of room to grow and a lot of room to make it better. And I'm really excited about that for next year. So I really enjoy being parade, the float. Thank you. I couldn't think of it. The truck, I was going to say. But it was a ton of fun, a lot of laughter, and a great way to enjoy a wonderful event in our country now. So thank you to everyone for that. So if we can go on, I'll go ahead and read the proclamation. We don't need a vote, but I think it's important so everyone hears the great work that Riverforce, along with 12 other mayors, are working on. And so here's a proclamation. It says, whereas the Village of River Forest is committed to promoting and creating a more sustainable environment through a variety of programs and initiatives. And whereas the Village of River Forest believes intergovernmental cooperation to be an effective and efficient method of sharing ideas and resources. And whereas the Village of River Forest has joined several collective municipal efforts aimed at building sustainable communities, including the Greenest Region Compact and the Chicago Climate Charter. And whereas the Cross Community Climate Collaborative, C4, is designed to bring together BPOC and non-minority communities across income lines to achieve emissions reductions, equity, and sustainability goals. And whereas the C4 project supports disinvested and resourced communities in a unique collaboration that places a focus on substantive goals and metrics. And whereas the Village of River Forest continues to foster relationships with nearby West River communities, including Oak Park and Broadview. And so therefore, I, Catherine Ducey, Village President of the Village of River Forest, do hereby proclaim support for the Cross Community Climate Collaborative and encourage cooperation and participation from other municipalities and community groups. So thank you for all your support. Brian and I went to the C4 because we knew that many of the trustees were. We got it. I mean, you know, you can only give what you can, and I appreciate whatever you can give. Brian and I represented the village, and I think it was well represented across all villages. So it was really great.
Kathy, may I ask a question about, in our proclamation, we mentioned Oak Park and Broadview.
Yeah.
Could you just remind?
Yeah, I will. Yeah, so it's Broadview, Oak Park, and River Forest that began the initiative. So it was the three of the Vicky, myself, and Katrina Thompson from Broadview Mayor, actually started this with Seven Generations, sure. and Gary Canadians, which Seven Generations, and Devin Elder Johnson from the Urban Efficiency Group, who's going to bring in, hopefully share the resources amongst the communities. So that really is bringing that Twin Village to life. So really excited about it. But anyway, the three mayors, we worked a lot. Staff really didn't spend any time. It was really the three mayors working with Gary and Darna. So it was really good.
I was going to make a suggestion to the proclamation. Thank you for giving us the MOU as well. I do think that it is important to define BIPOC in the proclamation and in the C4 MOU, because BIPOC to different people means different things, and especially around DEI, things can be very fluid. And so if BIPOC changes generally in terms of definition and general understanding, it would leave people in color out of it. So
I have no issues changing it on the proclamation. I think because the 13 mayors, including many of them that come from minority community, agreed with that language, and so I would make that suggestion to them, maybe further.
I do think it's important. The term is changing,
yep.
So it would leave people out there.
Okay, no worries on the proclamation. We'll make that change.
Yep.
Okay. All right. So let's move on so we can get some work done. Let's get some consent agenda. So we have really long consent agenda.
Can I pull a couple of things from the agenda?
Sure.
I'd like to quote F through L and O.
F through L.
Correct.
Kathy, can I ask, is the proclamation part of the consent agenda?
No.
Do you need a motion on that or to approve it?
No.
No? Okay.
It's a proclamation, not a resolution.
Got you. Okay. Just checking. Thank you. Sorry.
F through L. Okay. And what else? That's it?
Oh, as an Oscar.
Okay, very good. So can I get a motion to approve A through E? And I guess N and EQ?
RSG.
RSG.
Yes.
Where is that? Oh, yeah. I'm going to go all the way down.
So move?
Yeah, so move. So we're taking out F through L.
Second.
Okay. Any questions or comments on that motion? Hearing it, none, not ask the clerk to read it, and then.
Oh boy.
Yeah.
Consent agenda A, Village Board of Trustee meeting minutes, May 23rd, 2022. B, A, Village of Trustees Executive Meeting Minutes, May 23rd, 2022. C, a right-of-way encroachment waiver, an agreement for an irrigation system in the public right-of-way with property owners at 217 Franklin Avenue. D, a right-of-way encroachment waiver, an agreement for an irrigation system in the public right-of-way with the property owners at 935 Thatcher Avenue. E, a right-of-way encroachment waiver, an agreement for an irrigation system in the public right-of-way, property owners at 1110 Jackson. M, approval of an agreement with Thomas Engineering Group for construction engineering services for a not-to-exceed cost of $116,648.48 and authorize the village administrator to execute the contract agreement. N, authorization to execute intergovernmental agreement with Cook County regarding the Village of River Forest Bicycle Plan Approval Resolution. P, approve the purchase of Dell ME5024 storage array in the amount of $40,319.19. Q, International Risk Management Agency, IRMA, alternate delegate change resolution. R, monthly department reports. S, accounts payable of May 2022, $1,877,142.29. T, monthly financial report, May 2022. U, village administrative report. Trustee O'Connell?
Yes.
Trustee Bachman?
Yes.
Trustee Gillis?
Yes.
Trustee Vasquez?
Yes.
Trustee Brennan?
Yes.
Okay. All right. So then we want to take F through L together. And O, do you want to separate?
Let's do
it. Oh, you want to power? So
F through L together.
F through L. Okay. So can I get a motion to approve F through L on the consent agenda?
So moved.
Second.
Okay. So I wanted to pull those because they all deal with awarding contracts for paving and fixing cracks in the streets, et cetera. And I just have a question about the way that this is formulated, because in a good many of these, we budgeted for a certain amount and then the bids came in. And the lowest bid or the recommended bid comes in over the budgeted amount. And then we say in this memo that although the bid amount is in excess of the allocated budget for this work, village staff intends to develop the proposed scope of work as necessary to remain within the allocated fiscal year 23 budget. So, but in our consent, motion here, we're being asked to approve the higher amount. So there must be a reason for that, and I just wanted to understand.
Sure. Jeff will be happy to help you understand.
Okay. So when we bid the contracts, the low bidder is the amount that we're stuck dealing with, for lack of a better term. So that's what we seek approval on, is that bid amount. Knowing that a lot of these projects haven't even been established yet for street patching, curb and sidewalk, we haven't fleshed that scope out yet. So a project like that, we could very easily just reduce the scope back to so that we're within the normal budget. SIP, that's already been scoped out. However, we can easily kind of carve things out, same with sewer lining. So we can still work within the parameters of the budget and just modify the scope accordingly. But our understanding and the way we've done it in the past is to still award the contract for the bid amount, knowing that staff is then going to modify the scope of the project to stay within the allocated budget.
So you're asking us to approve the higher amount, but we're really only going to be paying the lower budgeted amount.
Correct. Now, we've come to the board before for change orders if there's a good reason for something being over budget or something like that. So there may still be a case where we're over the budgeted amount, but like any change order we come to the board with, there will be a good reason if that is the case. As of right now, I see no reason why any of these projects would need to come back for a change order beyond a budgeted amount.
So I mean, like commodity cost increases are built into this, and you guys are working with that also.
Correct. Yeah. So in looking at some of this year's numbers, I mean, we're anywhere from 120%, 175%. Almost all of our bid items are, we always account for some overages on an annual basis. They're just, you know, due to economic reasons, they're far greater than we had really anticipated. So yes, that is part of why these are all coming in over budget too. And there's also now a, there's a strike. Local 150 is striking against a few of our material supplier locations too. Right. So that's adding to it as well. So again, we're going to get as much of this work done as we possibly can and certainly work within the parameters of our budget. Unfortunately, we're just, of course, coming back to you with budget number, bid numbers that are higher than what's budget.
Thanks. I just Thanks. I just wanted that explanation.
Absolutely. Do you ever have any concerns with just reducing the scope of a project in budget as it relates to holding somebody accountable for doing the work on budget?
Do me a favor, repeat the question. I'm not sure I understand it.
So you have a budget, and then you reduce the scope of the work so that you stay on budget, rather than holding suppliers accountable for being on. Because if you just reduce the scope, their prices really are unaffected by us holding them. They just do less work.
They didn't know our budget.
Yeah.
They don't know that. Okay. We don't share that before the bid. Sometimes somebody will ask at the bid opening, oh, what was your budget? At that point, we either award the contract like we're seeking this evening or we don't, but none of them know that ahead of the bid process.
Okay, thank you.
All right, very good. Thank you so much, Jeff. All right, any further questions? Hearing none, if I can ask the clerk to read it.
Consent agenda F, award a contract to Chicagoland Paving in the amount of $79,758.15. The 2022 street patching program and authorize the village administrator to execute the contract agreement. G, award a contract to Davis Concrete Construction Company in the amount of $80,262.50 for the 2022 curb and sidewalk replacement program and authorize the village administrator to execute the contract agreement. H, award a contract to Denler Inc. in the amount of $54,410 for the 2022 asphalt pavement crack sealing project and authorize the village administrator to execute the contract agreement. I, award a contract to Denler Inc. in the amount of $46,800 for the 2022 pavement preservation project and authorize the village administrator to execute the contract agreement. J, award a contract to Schroeder Asphalt Services Inc. in the amount of $503,290.46 for the 2022 street improvement project and authorize the village administrator to execute the contract agreement. K, motion to award the contract to Bizu Sewer of Illinois, LLC, in the amount of $213,687.75 for the 2022 sewer lining project and authorize the village administrator to execute the contract agreement. L, award a contract to Copenhaver Construction Inc. in the amount of $2,114,227.01 for the Green Alley Improvement Project Phase 2 and authorize the village administrator to execute the contract. Trustee Brennan.
Yes.
Trustee Vasquez.
Yes.
Trustee Gillis.
Yes.
Trustee Bachner.
Yes.
Trustee O'Connell.
Yes.
Okay. Now we need a motion for O. Move O in a second.
Okay. I have a motion to approve item O on the consent agenda.
Second.
We already got the rest.
Oh, okay.
All right. So I pulled this one because what we're being asked to do is to approve the renewal of the electrical aggregation program for another 2 years. And This renewal does not include the civic participation money that we had in the first 2 years of it. And I understand that. It does include the RECs. So we still get the benefit of the RECs and that going toward the reduction of our greenhouse gas emissions. What I remember from when we signed the original agreement with MC Squared was that what we really wanted, what our goal here was to really use solar energy and to participate in a community solar program, not the electrical energy aggregation program. But the solar program wasn't quite available yet, and so we went with the aggregation program as a bridge. And during the 2 years of that bridge, the plan and the goal was to get the community solar program for River Forest to be part of. I understand that's still happening in some way, and I'd sort of like to have more information about where that stands. Are we joining a community solar array as a village right now? Are we on the list?
Yeah. May I speak to that, Sarah? Is that possible?
Oh, yeah.
Okay. Hi, I can see myself on the screen. My name is Molly Vanderlaan. I'm the energy consultant for the village and have been since 2006. And so I've worked with the village both on this contract and then just the pumping street lighting contracts for power. And let's put this aside. We can talk about community solar very briefly. So community solar is not something that I've discussed yet with Sarah and Jeff. However, it is something I've done quite extensively this year as it's really exploded in Illinois. And in Illinois, you have to have a certain size account to do this. The village accounts do not qualify if they wanted to subscribe to another array somewhere in the ComEd system. However, I am currently in talks with some other villages, and this would be an option for River Forest as well. You could have a community solar array put on a village building, and then you could subscribe to that array or have other people like residents or anyone in the ComEd system subscribe to that array. And that's a definite possibility. It's just, I didn't know I was gonna be speaking about that or that was a goal of the village, but you could do this MC Squared RECs contract and do that as well. And I'm happy to work with, I heard Sarah's leaving, but I'm happy to work with Jeff or whomever, the sustainability committee, on exploring that option, because this is something that's really
big in
Illinois. Yes.
Molly, we actually do have a community solar program
yeah.
that is in place. And to that point though, there is more interest in the community solar program than there are spaces in community solar. So this currently, so
yes.
And so we do intend on fully promoting both of those programs as we go forward in announcing what's happened with the whole express idea of encouraging a use of clean energy sources for us. So the default position is to have the aggregation program in place. And remarkably, and I will say from my experience, aggregation, generally speaking, has been drying up because the market has gotten tighter and tighter with regard to where the ICC ComEd rates were when aggregation first was very popular about 8-10 years ago. Those rates, the ICC rates have dropped over time as the rest of the market has picked up, and they've all caught up at this particular time, and rates have actually gone up, right? So aggregation in general has proven to be a very difficult thing for a lot of communities to actually be successful with. And so the fact that we were able to do an aggregation program and receive rates that matched and still gave us all of the RECs is a great thing. And so it allows for us to still, as a community, provide clean energy to those houses that are on that program. But we're going to strongly encourage, as best as you can as well, get involved in community solar, because, again, it's clean energy, and it's 20% less expensive. So we're still pushing that program. There are only slots available, so many slots available. So we're working on concerting on both of those. And over the next 2 years, really pushing to get to an all solar program.
Yeah, can I just make one quick note? I'm sorry if I misunderstood or you know what you wanted me to cover, but these are not mutually exclusive. So the village can do RECs, and any resident can also do community solar. The village could invest in community solar if they wanted to. You can do all of it. And I just wanted to also make clear, MC Squared said this is the last REC contract they can do right now because the economics are not working for them here because prices are so, they're nuts this year. So this they were going to hold this because this was an offer they made to River Forest, but this is literally the last aggregation backed by RECs contract they're doing right now. So I would, you know, obviously we've advised that it continue and then hopefully we can also in the future extend it again and hopefully economics work that we can offer the civic contribution again, but right now they can still do the RECs.
And Molly, just to confirm my understanding, a resident cannot be a member, cannot join both the energy aggregation program and the solar program. You have to choose one of the.
No. You could do both.
Okay, that was not my understanding.
Yes, you can do both. They have nothing to do with each other, so you can absolutely do them both.
I'll get some clarification on how that will work so that we can get that information out to our residents.
And I'm happy to inform or talk to any River Forest resident. Obviously, I've been working with the community a long time, and I'm always happy to field phone calls because I'm in this every day. So happy to do that.
So one other question. I understand that we have residents on a waiting list waiting for an available array or project for the solar. Is there a benefit to letting more residents know that the community solar is available once an array or project is found so that we have an incentive to sign up more residents on that waiting list? If we have a heavier number of residents on the waiting list, are we more likely to find a project or an array?
That is a great question. So I right now am creating a list of people who are in a queue with a solar developer. So I don't know what the village has done. Is there a particular developer that you've talked with, or this is just residents saying they're doing this?
There are residents that are signing up for the community solar program that we've made available. And the question is, does that, if we have more people on the waiting list, does that help MC Squared and you to find other solar array developers that, since there's that level of demand in our community, to put a project together that is specific for River Forest?
Right. So projects take a long time to get up and running. So the demand was so high, all the available projects were filled so quickly that we right now are expecting it may be 6 to 12 months before there's another available project, unfortunately. But I can get more information to you on that because right now I filled up all of my slots like in the first 3 to 4 months of this year. And now I'm kind of in a holding pattern, but I'm happy to find out if that there's a change for residents because I typically work with businesses. So I can find that out and communicate that to Jeff to see if that would make a difference depending on how many residents are on that list. And is that a list that you are keeping or what does that mean? Who's keeping this list?
We get it through MC Squared, who's the program administrator.
Okay.
Just to be clear, Molly's with Story Energy and they're more doing our the aggregation program.
Right.
And then MC Squared kind of handles the community solar, but we did that through the Metropolitan Mayor's Caucus. So,
okay.
So that's why Molly just.
Okay. I know I was so confused, but I work with other solar developers. So I may have access to developers that I don't know what MC Squared is doing. So we work with other developers, and I'm happy to look into those specific developers and see if that would make a difference. I don't know how that would affect what you have going, but that's something I can address with Jeff and Sarah to see if maybe there's another developer.
Yeah, yeah. More of a question for Edith Mankra and Mark Pruitt. Are there arrays that might open up for us if we have a higher number of residents on the waiting list?
Yeah.
Okay, yes, I will find out.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, we agreed.
Because that is the goal.
Yeah,
totally. Yeah, I'm like, away from that.
It is, but I will say right now, our greenhouse gas emission measurement is greatly impacted by these racks.
Understood.
So we must approve this.
Yeah. It's all going to be.
Okay.
I think the other question was more or less, how do we expand solar?
Right.
Okay, follow it. All right, real good. Thank you. I think we got Bill Gordon. All right,
so hearing no other questions on it,
if
I can ask
the clerk to read it. Consent agenda item O, Master Power Supply Agreement, MC Squared Energy Services, LLC, for the Village's Electrical Aggregation Program and approval of Master Power Supply Agreement. MC Squared Energy Services, LLC, for the Village's Electric Aggregation Program Extended Term Agreement Amendment, number one, ordinance. Trustee Vasquez.
Yes.
Trustee Gillis.
Yes.
Trustee Bachner.
Yes.
Trustee O'Connell.
Yes.
Trustee Brennan.
Yes.
Real good. All right, we're to the tennis club. So I know maybe, Mark, you don't want to speak, but this is, okay. No worries. Then I will go ahead and ask for the board to, we need a motion on this.
Yeah, to approve the development, Bridgeport Tennis Club plan development.
Yep. Second. Okay. All right. Who's going to give any update to this?
Matt? Sure. Yes, I can give a...
just a brief so that, I mean, we know we've seen the plan development, they came before us, we know that it's on. And passed to the zoning, it's in our package. Anything that we need to know outside
sure.
of that?
Sure. So the Development Review Board recommended approval of this unanimously. They did not share any real concerns. There were some comments about the landscaping that were concurred with staff and taken into account by the architect and the applicant. This project is really just exterior beautification. There's no real significant changes. It's kind of just rearranging where some of the uses are on the site. There were two site development allowances that were requested as part of the application that included the practice wall that's at the northwest corner of the tennis club is now going to be at the southwest corner. The tennis club, it requires a setback or an allowance because it's so close to Lathrop, but it's not that much of a change to what's already out there. So it was kind of viewed as a minimal impact. The impervious surface actually decreases with this plan, and there's also an enclosure included in the plan that will make the garbage enclosure a little bit more appealing for when you're going northbound. And also some changes are being made to the entrance gates on the north and south ends of the property to make it kind of match or similar to the front of the project. But there were no concerns from staff about village operations, and the Development Review Board did not have any negative comments about the project.
Okay.
So just real quick, no public comment at the Development Review Board, negative?
No, there was not.
I think the plan looks great. I can't wait to see it. It's
laid
really it up front, everything's great.
Yeah, I mean, here we go. But, all right, if no further questions, we'll go ahead and take the vote.
I don't have any issues with the plan itself, but I did notice in the notes from the neighbor meeting, that some of the neighbors had complained about their driveways being blocked by tennis club patrons or both blocked and obstructed and parked too close. And I know I've heard from residents on that block that it's continuing. So I would just ask the tennis club representatives who are here, if you can do your darndest to allow those residents free access to their driveways. I know that even when they're not blocked, they're parking close. And it's what I just heard today. So that those residents have to pull straight out into the street and then turn into the other side of traffic. And that's hard when there's a lot of bikes on that street as well.
Okay, thanks. All right, let's go ahead and take a call.
Trustee Gillis.
Yes.
Trustee Bachman.
Yes.
Trustee O'Connell.
Yes.
Trustee Brennan.
Yes.
Trustee Vasquez.
Yes.
Okay, passes. Congratulations. We look forward to the update beautification. Thanks so much, guys. All right, yeah. Thank you. Mm-hmm. All right, so let's move on to 7B. This is where we have some comments. So down with them. Marie, do you want to? Okay, I'll be one turn.
Hello, everyone. I'm Don Glazier. I live on 111 Thatcher. I've lived in this town for over 30 years. And I'm going to speak briefly on the issue pertaining to moving a radar feedback sign from its current location at 1115 Thatcher back to where it had been in the 900 block of Thatcher. We appeared before the Traffic and Safety Commission and with the idea that it would be an additional one would be put on the street. The commission was more inclined to move what had been moved from 900 block to 1100 block back to 900 block. We feel that an additional sign is necessary in large part because of the unique nature of Thatcher Avenue as a problem street in Denver Forest as part of traffic. Thatcher, for those that just travel on briefly, as opposed to those of us that live on the street, is as it exists right now, roughly 1 mile stretch from North Avenue to Chicago Avenue with absolutely no traffic control on. There's no stop sign, there's no speed bumps, no pork chops, there's nothing. It is controlled by our friends down in Springfield at IDOT, which creates difficulties in not allowing this group to do much of anything other than get the blessing from IDOT. It's been a problem as long as I've lived there. It's only gotten worse over the last few years. It's difficult to pull into your own driveway. There's no safe crosswalk across in Augusta for those folks that want to go take their dog.
But now, can I ask you?
Yes, absolutely.
Yes. So are you in agreement with what the recommendation or you're
no,
not?
No, because we felt that at the Traffic Safety Commission that simply moving one sign to a different location was insufficient, that we felt more needed to be done, i.e. an additional sign. We looked at the price of those, and we feel that it's a necessary tool as a part of a larger solution.
But there is a sign here, and add a speed limit sign.
The recommendation is to add one. So the recommendation is seeking consensus to accept recommendations for traffic and safety to move the existing pole-mounted radar feedback from 1100 and to be installed at 939 and add a speed limit sign at 1100.
Speed limit sign.
Just a static sign that shows the speed limit. So it would replace the relocated radar
sign. I can tell you that the static speed signs on that street do not control traffic at all. They're ignored. But I can tell you that in the information that I've gained from talking to folks at road sign, the radar sign, has been the product works well. I can tell from my own gut watching traffic, it slowed down. And I think adding yet another sign will add to the reduction in traffic. It just reminds people more often that they're going too fast.
Right. So when we met, my name is Anna Marie Romeo. I live at 1030. When we went before the Traffic and Safety Commission, it was to request that the sign that had been removed from 939 be reinstalled.
Right.
And the one on the 1100 block be left there.
Nice.
Instead, the commission determined that they wanted to move the sign from 1100 to 900. And we have been monitoring the speed on the block, on those blocks. Those speed radar signs do slow people down. It's not the be all end all, but that is why we are here to say, we don't want one move back. We want both of them. We would like both of them as residents of the block. We received signatures from all the residents, but one that was moving on the 900 block requesting that that sign be reinstalled.
Yeah.
We have communicated with the 900, the 1000, the 1100 block, and we are here as representatives to say this is a starting point for future discussions about the street.
All right. I see. I didn't mean to interrupt. No. I just want to make sure I understood more.
Yeah, it is a little unclear in the way it's put on the agenda, but we're seeking, I guess it's disagreeing with what the Traffic Safety Commission did. They're looking for multiple signs that we believe, and I think there's data that's stored in those machines right now. You can see a year's worth of data, and I've learned in talking to the company that can be downloaded, and you can see how fast people are going, and I think they're useful information.
The difference, I think I understand.
Okay.
Or does you don't want the speed limit sign, you want full-mounted radar sign.
Yes, this is the best way we thought we could present that issue, because it is before the board, before you just say, okay, we're going to move it. We say, we like the one that's at 1100. We'd also like to see the one back at 900 again.
Or the new one.
Yes, exactly.
Okay.
You don't want to move it. In the right. Yes, Bob.
Can I ask Jeff, I mean, you weigh in on this, you know, what's the problem with having two in such close proximity? It seems to me, knowing the 9 and the 1100 block, the yellow traffic really picking up stuff that's coming off of Augusta, right?
It is, but you've also got the railroad tracks that you're crossing too. So I know I listened to the audio from I wasn't present at the traffic safety meeting, but I listened to the audio this morning. So that was one of the issues brought up, was that, well, do we need the one on the 1100 block? And folks are already kind of slowing down as they go northbound,
right,
to that 1100 block. So I think that was part of the reason they kind of suggested moving that further south. I'm not aware of anything that says you have to put them every so many feet apart. I'm not aware of anything that says they become less effective. That, of course, is the concern, right? Like anything else, the more we put out there, the more it becomes white noise, and people potentially run the risk of people paying less attention to it. So
there's another one at the 1300 or 1400 block also.
Or they're reminded again.
Yes.
Which
yes.
is about human nature.
Yeah, we know this, but stature is a like a, speed race. No, roadway. So, I mean, we know they go bigger than 25. We don't have enough police to, catch them all. So, I guess the question is, I guess you're right. I mean, unless there's no real major down.
Well, I mean, by the time you get to the 1400 block, the race is over. You got to get the stoplight. So, I mean, what does it make sense to move one from the 1400 block to the 11 and then the 9? It seems like this. I mean, at some point in time, it's just to the point is, can I make finish?
Yeah.
At some point in time, it's like it's just there. You just go by it. So it's ineffective. So to have two of them, I think it could be effective. It's just spacing them properly.
I think the manufacturer would argue that the tool is effective. I mean, obviously, we bought 6 of them. So there is an effectiveness. If you have one every 15 feet, yes, I agree. And right, it kind of loses the punch.
Right.
But as I mentioned at the outset, the street has absolutely no control on it right now. It has no control going southbound because I got controls.
Right.
So to the extent that we can do something, make some effort, it is a part of a larger solution. I think we should.
Are we able to put like a temporary one there to see what the difference is?
In this case, no, only because the reason the one on the 900 block was originally removed was because it was a solar array, which is what most of our installations are, but the tree cover up there was really inconvenient and it stopped working. There just wasn't enough sunlight. So to put one back on the 900 block would require that it be hardwired in. Becomes a lot less temporary.
Which we don't have. To answer Eric's question, we don't have one.
And we have had that. We've had the trailer out there too.
Correct. Yeah. And then two trailers that are in regular rotation. I'm turning to Commander Greenwood here. But yes, that's always part of our regular rotation that PG does throughout the town.
Jeff, what are we talking about in terms of, I tend to agree with the residents only because, I think we've heard consistently about the extra amplitude. So if we can put something out there that potentially can slow the stress down. Why wouldn't? Is the cost significantly different?
Just whatever full mounted radar feedback sign we want to install is, so I want to say around $6,000-$7,000 a piece. Then if we want to hardwire it in, which we would have to cure, similar to the one we did on the south end of Thatcher on the 200 block recently. That was another $2,000 or so. So we're into it, you know, 8,000-9,000.
Right.
The only other caveat I'll throw out there is that we also have issued an RFP for a village-wide traffic study.
Right.
So
right.
Some of the idea was also to let that play out before we start making additional moves like this as well. So
right.
That's just so that you have all the information.
And that's money we're already spending.
The RFP has been issued. We have not committed to that yet.
I look at it as, I mean, I hear you. It's, you know, we're not, like you said, putting pork chops in. We're not doing real construction. I mean, this is a probably something we will use and continue to use at that site. I'm guessing because, I mean, I
go back to the park situation that we had. We started out on Monroe with Bonnie Bray with blocks. We made a decision to do a traffic study. So
yeah, and I think the traffic.
So why don't we follow through and see what the consultant says at the end of the traffic study? Because this will be moving.
You can't, but I think this is that's my thought.
What's the timing on the traffic study? Exactly. It's just an RFP stage right now.
The RFP has been advertised. Those are due mid-July. So that's when we would get proposals back. We would come back to the board ideally in August at that meeting for approval. But then the consultant has to do a study of the entire village.
Which is gonna take 6 months?
Yeah, I mean, for context, the one in the northeast corner of town was kind of 6 to 8 weeks for that kind of green field up to North Avenue.
That's a hot spot.
So yeah, it would be months.
I don't know. I think it's more important in there. And
I have a question. If we, because we're going to hardwire the one at the 900 block, if we decide that the traffic study, that we only need one for whatever reason coming out of that traffic study, can we move the one at the 11th block since that's solar?
Yes. If it's a solar installation, we can take that off the pole and relocate that wherever else we want. Absolutely.
So you have
right, tomorrow. So if it turns out that, look, that is that part of the solution, they decide, well, no, you don't need two, you need to do blah, 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 keep one at the 900 because that's hard, you know, hardwired and that'll run you move.
Yep, good.
So, I mean, I know how you feel, Bob, but I think, you know, I don't know if this is big, like you said, we can move the 9, but there's the one that's solar somewhere else. I think it's not a waste. So I recommend what we recommend down.
I think price wise, yes. At least according to the materials that are on the website, it's between $2,700 and $4,300. So maybe a bargain. Although maybe it's outdated, but I don't think it's a huge investment.
Near COVID-19.
Pardon me?
Prices have gone up.
Yeah, I know.
You know, I mean, I'm not trying to make it's something someone afforded 9,000.
Yeah. And I leave one more comment, at least. The information, I spoke to somebody at the company, it continually stored data.
Yeah.
So whatever screen you put it on, you'll be able to have hard data that you can use in making decisions. So I think it's that in and of itself,
I agree.
Justified.
Yeah.
May I make one more comment?
We got to come to the podium.
Yeah.
We don't have
sorry,
Mike.
We met today. We were talking about the monitor on the 1400 block or 1500 block. It really should be moved. It's at the turn.
You mean the 15, the 14. Yeah. And you know what? That might come out of the study. So
perfect.
I disagree with people, just don't know yet.
Yes.
Yeah. I just want to say, as long as we're all like kind of say, like, we'll do the permanent one, and it's coming out of the traffic study, doesn't make sense to keep that one there, but move it as long as we all kind of can hear the results of the full community traffic study, because that's what we need to do. We've been doing it piecemeal, and it causes more problems than that.
Which is exactly what we're doing.
Right.
Piecemeal.
Right, but if you can move it, it's a temporary piecemeal.
How about the stop sign? So John was asking about the stop sign.
Yeah, is that impossible?
Oh, it's
possible. Oh, it's an IDOT
road. Yeah,
IDOT. Yeah,
it's
an IDOT.
It's impossible.
Yeah.
Because they don't allow.
I understand. Just
they walked through Springfield one day.
It's not very, very challenging.
All right. So if everybody's somewhat in agreement, and let's approve, I think the suggestion that we
wait.
What?
Then we have to say no to this because this does make sense.
Well, there are no motion. So if you say
We can just give them direction.
Okay, so I'd like the staff to come back with an estimate because I don't think it's $10,000. I think it's more than $10,000.
It doesn't matter because
I think it does matter. My personal opinion.
Okay.
You know, we're spending money on a village-wide traffic study, or we throw $20,000 here and $20,000 there. And at the end of the day, that's essentially going to be the amount that we can put into the final resolution. So I'd like to see a bid on it.
Which we will, because we're gonna see a bid on it.
Okay.
But all right, so why don't we go? It sounds like at least the idea of having two existing pole-mounted radar signs seem to be in agreement. What we would request is just come back to the board with a price proposal. So we do that July, when you can get it by July.
We'll try to get it priced inside that. Yeah.
Yeah. Yep. So, and then you'd have to come in. We have to want to see it.
Yes.
Okay. So I think we're making progress.
Thank you.
Yeah. Good. All right. Thanks, guys. And I appreciate it. So we've got some, there's no vote here, just giving direction to Jeff. Sounds like they know what to do. All right, so let's move on to 8A. We do need a motion here. This is, I think Dan, is he back? Okay, Dan, you're back. So let's do the motion and then I'll ask him.
I can do a motion. Yep. I motion to approve an ordinance amending the Road Forest Rule to Code regarding single-use foodware for delivery or takeout orders of food and or beverages.
Second.
Okay. Did I hear a second?
Yeah.
Yes.
Okay, very good. All righty. So Dan, would you like to speak?
Yes, thank you. Thank you for this opportunity. And thank you to the Sustainability Commission for all its efforts to put into this. I would like to urge adoption of the ordinance as proposed in the packet that the Sustainability Commission submitted to the Village Board for this meeting. I've spent hours with Nick Caravites, McDonald's is our next door neighbor, and he's been a very good next door neighbor since he took ownership of the store. Spent hours talking with him about this, including today when he called from London. The refinements that I offered in the June 21st memo simply made the ordinance more precise. And I don't really want to complicate matters by bringing them up now, which is why I'm encouraging you to adopt the ordinance as presented and recommended by the Sustainability Commission. At some point, the big problem is, of course, trying to accommodate McDonald's needs in this. They have, as Commissioner McLean explained earlier, gone completely to bamboo utensils and paper straws in Canada in all 1,400 stores, while they have gone to non-plastic straws, paper straws in the United Kingdom, where the entire country has banned the use of plastic straws. And while they have gone to paper straws in the dozens of cities and counties in California, Oregon, and Washington, and elsewhere throughout the country that has banned plastic straws, obviously their regional distribution center here is a bit behind the times and behind their goals that Commissioner McLean explained. It is, I think, an opportunity here to give them some time to get these non-plastic utensils into the stores, into their distribution center, so that the River Forest McDonald's can fully comply with the ordinance. The ordinance as written does allow them to ask drive-through patrons if they would like foodware with their order. It will allow McDonald's basically to provide the straws now. In the future, what they will seek to do, according to Nick, is provide paper straws or perhaps even bamboo straws once McDonald's distribution catches up with the rest of the McDonald's around the world for soft drinks. But they need to be able to provide plastic straws, and possibly bamboo straws will work with their fruit-based and milk-based products. And that's because the paper straws have a nasty tendency to disintegrate. And indeed, in the UK, where they didn't bother to talk with the vendors very much in writing their ordinance, unlike what we've done here, there are the big complaints with McDonald's is that their paper straws are disintegrating in their fruit-based and milk-based products. So that's why in the refinements that I put together, it allowed for all that, but it's perfectly okay if you adopt the ordinance as it is. And we can, I would hope you would revisit this in maybe 6 months to update it to provide the more greater precision that is needed. Similarly, in 6 months, it might be wise to look at adopting some penalties for violation of the ordinance, which is lacking in the current draft. So I imagine the McDonald's will get its act together, our local distribution, and provide the products that Nick needs to comply. And as he mentioned in his letter, he is in the forefront here. He has put solar panels up in his rock and roll McDonald's downtown. They still call it that. And the solar is providing 60 to 70% of their energy during the spring, summer, and fall, and 46% amazingly in the winter. He is considering and thinking about installing solar in the River Forest at McDonald's, which I think would make it the first suburban McDonald's to have solar panels. He really understands the issues. And as you can tell from the email that he sent me to forward to you today, he is very supportive, including of the the refinements. But again, there's no need to go into the refinements. Yeah. If you'd like to adopt the ordinance as written by the Sustainability Commission, I've certainly got no complaints, and I would applaud that action. If you have any questions about details, I've been researching this pretty thoroughly, and I'd be happy to answer any if you do have any. Thank you for this opportunity, and thank you again to the Sustainability Commission for recommending the ordinance as it is currently written.
Thank you, Dan. So we've got a motion and a second, just so that I know, like, to kind of clear up anything. I know Bobby mentioned it earlier, making sure that, you know, this ordinance is just about offering foodware. It's not changing what they provide, just trying to get the establishments to not just automatically give it away, but for a client or customer they ask for. It's not addressing at this point in time plastics or any of the type of foodware that they use. It's just addressing how they distribute the foodware. So, and I just want to remind the board, the reason we brought it back is because we were waiting for perhaps McDonald's, given that they're the only drive-through in River Forest. We did want to hear from them. We didn't hear from them. No big deal. So therefore, we're going to go ahead with the ordinance as written earlier. But I want to remind the village, and Dan had mentioned it, if there are any nuance that we need to change because of some conversation we had with a business, it could be McDonald's, it could be another business. Brian has this ordinance, and there's a provision in the ordinance that allows him to make a slight change with a motion of approval. So I think this ordinance is a great ordinance, and I hope that you're ready to vote for it.
I have a question. Dan mentioned that there's no penalties.
We have a provision in our overall, and I'll let Greg that addresses penalties.
So the village code has a catch-all penalty provision in section 1-4-1 that says if a specific penalty is not set forth, then there is a penalty of up to $500 per violation. So that in every time you add a requirement in your village code, you don't have to add a penalty clause. Instead, you have a generally applicable one.
Okay, so
Dan,
do you want to any other questions on it?
No, I just want to say this is a really good and important step for us in River Forest, especially as we are looking to develop many other parts of our community with essentially restaurants.
Yep.
So,
Yeah, this is thank you. Thank you, Erica, because we're one of the, I don't, other than City of Chicago, I'm not aware of another municipality that has something like this. So real proud of the Sustainability Commission for being part of this and proud of the board for moving it. So go ahead and go.
Trustee Bachman.
Yes.
Trustee O'Connell.
I'm going to pass on this one.
Well, no, you have to
accuse yourself.
Abstain.
Yeah,
Trustee Brennan.
Yes.
Trustee Vasquez.
Yes.
Trustee Gillis.
Yes.
Okay. Morning, yes. All right. Well, good. No executive session. So, no. So, I can motion to adjourn.
Make a motion to adjourn.
Second.
Okay. Very good.
Trustee Brennan.
Yes.
Trustee Vasquez.
Yes.
Trustee Gillis.
Yes.
Trustee Bachman.
Yes.
Trustee O'Connell.
Yes.
President Ducey.
Yes. All right. Thank you.
Okay.
Good night. Thank you, Raz. You